Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we are sharing this with our other disciple group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you to our Wednesday morning edition as we continue in our lesson dealing with the subject of recognizing the Holy Spirit. Now, you could, you know, it's under the same title of just releasing the Holy Spirit, but recognizing the Holy Spirit is such a powerful, has such a powerful meaning, because when you recognize the Holy Spirit, I believe before you can release him, you have to recognize him. And when you recognize him, it is because of someone. You know, to recognize meaning someone that you have spent time with, someone that you know their voice, you know their ways, you understand them, you get them, they get you. And so when you spend time with someone, just like, you know, I spend time with my wife. Well, I know her. I know her voice. I know her ways. I know what she will say yes to and just about what she will say no to. Why? Because I spend time with her. The same thing that she would know of me. And I believe it's the same as we spend time with God. The more time we spend with him, experiencing him, we know what God is for, because we have his word. If we don't know what his word say, we can always go to the Bible. And we can find out what his word will say, because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us that will bear witness. You may not find the exact thing that you need to get approval from God, but you have that witness on the inside of you, in your spirit. Because your spirit has the fullness of God's joy inside of you. See, that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And it will strengthen you. It will let you know. You have this peace on the inside of you. It will be released on the, you know, when you go to make a step of faith. So this morning, as we continue, good morning, Brother George, as we continue in our lesson in recognizing the Holy Spirit, again, it's because you know his voice, you know his ways, and when you understand how in recognizing him, then you'll be able to release him. And so I didn't, you know, get the fullness of this title because I've been teaching on releasing the Holy Spirit, which is a good thing, but I discovered we can't release him if we don't recognize him. And that's why I'm kind of like taking a step back from releasing to recognizing. And I believe once we recognize him, it won't be a problem in us learning to release the one that we already in fellowship with. So let's make our faith confession. Let's say it out loud once again. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So we can look to one another and say that it's you and I. We want to say good morning to you and thank you for our Wednesday morning edition. As we continue to pick it up, we're using the 14th chapter of the book of the Gospel of John as a jumping off point of Jesus talks about here, that he said, do not let your heart be troubled. And notice this, he said, distressed or agitated, see? When he say your heart, he's talking about your soul, because you see, that's where all of the good and the bad and the unknown, it filters through. And depending upon the report that you give, I mean, that you hear, there are times the soul can be sad, it can be happy, or it could be in a nonchalant place. And so the only answer to the soul to give it life in that situation, it has to come through your born-again spirit. That's the life of God that's in you. That's where the Holy Spirit is there to help the soulless man to do what? To receive the divine energy the divine light of the truth that you already have on the inside of you. My soul don't have the truth, but my spirit does. And the moment I open up my soul, my understanding to the truth that is in my born again spirit, whether I'm reading the word, whether I'm listening to the word, guess what? My soul is receptive to that truth. And that's why when we say faith come by hearing, I mean, the more you hear the word taught, being taught, whether it be on a CD, whether it be in a podcast, whether it be with an MP3, whatever. When the more you hear the word, the more faith comes because you're listening. And while you're listening, faith is coming at the same time for the thing that you hear. Well, that works both in the positive and it works in the negative. So if you keep hearing things that's filled with fear, that's filled with doubt, that's filled with hate, that's filled with division, then guess what? That's all you're going to be. That's what's all going to come out your mouth. That's the type of demeanor you're going to wear. That's the stance you're going to take. Why? Because that's what you've been feeding on. Well, the same is true with God's word. So that's the reason why we say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, because the more you hear of the truth of recognizing the Holy Spirit in various aspects, whether it be for provision, whether it be for healing, whether it be for health, whether it be for direction, it doesn't make a difference. When you know the truth of God's word, you are recognizing the Holy Spirit, then you're able to act. You're able to make a stance. And so here, and that's why he said, don't let your heart be agitated. You believe in, apprehend to entrust and rely on God. He said, believe and apprehend to entrust and rely also on me. Why? Because there is no difference. Jesus come from the Father. In actuality, Jesus is God in the flesh. Okay? And through his humanity is how we are able to identify with him, because he became one like us in sinful flesh when he was nailed on that cross, okay? But here it says, and I want to drop down here in verse 6, verse 4 says, and he said, and to the place where I am going, you know the way. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to prepare a place. But notice this, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. See, now that's something that each of us needs to hold on to. Because you see, you may have a truth to something, but you may not have the truth to this thing. That's two different things. You can have a truth, meaning a way to something, but it could not be the way. It could not be the truth. Because when you have the truth to something, that means you have the way, the truth to something that where it cannot renege on itself. It cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. But when you have a truth to something, well, it could be altered. If it can be altered from a truth, then someone else can come from a different way and continues to do the same thing. Well, the word of God can be altered. You know, they've tried it, you know, through fortune telling, reading of tarot cards, reading of the palm of your hands and all this kind of crazy stuff or whatever. See, that's Satan's way of trying to alter the truth. You see, you know, in this part of the country, Southwest, we, you know, people, what they call traitor, you know, they people that read their hand, people that do all, that's not a good thing. That's demonic. And you see, if you hold on to that, you'll always look to something in that light. Why? Because it is a truth that may bring something to pass, but it is not the truth. See, the truth is that God became a man. And what did he do? He settled the distance between God and man. In other words, that was a sin separated us. But now that God has sent forth his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, he has made one new man. And so we are a new man, talking about your spirit, that is in Christ, and there's no longer a distance between us and God. But when he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. So when we partake of God's way, when we are partaking of God's truth, then guess what? We now take the meat of God's word. That means when I do what the word says, I'm acting on the word. That is the meat of God's word. The milk of God's word, as we talked about a little bit yesterday, is receiving. You're feeding. And until you continue to feed on it, then that milk turns into the meat of God's word, to do what the word of God says. When you do what the word of God says, it becomes the meat of God's word. That means maturity is taking place on the inside. Change is taking place on the inside of your thought life, through your physical body, because that's where the changes have to be. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, your spirit is already sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's almost like saying that you have a spiritual immune system. You have a soulish immune system, and you have a physical body immune system. See, you could be whole in your spirit, which as you are, no sickness, no disease, no matter of defect can affect your spirit. Because why? You receive the life of God that's in there. Are you following what I'm saying? See, we're talking about recognizing the Holy Spirit. See, when you recognize that in your spirit, you are 100% pure, whole, nothing can penetrate that truth. That's why Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. Nothing could penetrate. You have to have a revelation of that. You have to have an understanding that if God's word says something, it's in this book, and you keep it in this concept, then it's yours. You could have it. Are you understand what I'm saying? So when he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the, once you settle that and know that's in your spirit, now stick with me in this segment right here, then that means nothing shall be impossible to you. You now know that because you can read it in this word. You know, maybe I need to show you that verse of scripture. In Matthew 19, let's see, Matthew 19, 26. Look at that for a moment. When you see, I think it's Matthew 19, 26. Let's see here. Yeah, it says, and Jesus said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. That's what you got to have. Your spirit know that. Your spirit has that life inside. Your spirit will not be rejected. Your spirit will not be denied. Your spirit will not tell you that we can't do that. This is not possible. Are you following what I'm saying? We don't have whatever. No, your spirit would never do that. Okay? So that means, spiritually speaking, my immune system, spiritually speaking, it is without flaw, without fault. It will release whatever the soul needs, the body needs, my circumstance, my environment. Okay, now that's one third, right? But then you have a soul, your immune system. Your soul has an immune system. See, without an immune system, you would not be able to fight off any type of germ, sickness, or disease. Okay? So when your immune system is strengthened, when your immune system is strong, it's a defense for you. That's why, like I started out with your spirit. When you hear of a disease, well, your born again spirit said, huh, no. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Why? Because God has already put inside of you that cancer can't penetrate. Tumors can't penetrate. Oppression cannot penetrate. Poverty cannot penetrate. Why? Because it's sealed with the life of God. How could those things be in your spirit, you know, that's born of God? How can death be? How can sickness, disease, how can those things be in your spirit when you have God in it? No, you have nothing but the life of God that's in your spirit. But in my soul has an immune system. So the reason if my body is sick, my mind is a sick, how you know, sometimes you have people with that have oppression, people who deal with oppression. Oppression can come to all of us from this mental point of view, but it's when something comes to depress me, because my immune system is strengthened. And so what do I mean by that? He said, Isaiah 26:3 said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed up on thee, because he trusts in thee. That's Isaiah 26:3. So if my mind stays up on him, then my soulless immune system will not accept sickness. It will not accept depression. It will not accept oppression. It will not accept poverty, defeat, sorrow, shame. It will not accept it. Now, if my soulless immune system is not strengthened, everything that I just mentioned, that it will not accept, it will. It will be oppressed. It will be sick. See, the reason why people don't get healed in their physical body, it is because the soul, the immune system of the soul, won't release the life to the immune system of the body so that the body can receive life. Are you seeing what I'm saying here? Because you see, Proverbs 23:7 said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That heart is dealing with your soul. Your soul is connected to your body. It's connected to your senses. It's connected to your emotion. And so if the soul doesn't release the divine energy, the life that's needed so that the body can be affected, so that your circumstance around you can change, then the soul can live with a toxic mentality. It will hold you in your fears. It will hold you and rob you of the goodness of God, because why? You're so consumed with hurt, with oppression, with sorrow, with lack, with all of these different things, and it won't release you so that the body itself can begin to experience the joy and the victory that Jesus already won for this body right now. Not when I get to heaven, but now. And the main reason why we don't recognize the Holy Spirit is because, listen to me, because we don't know the truth. We don't recognize the truth. We don't recognize He is the truth. We're still looking to some way. We're still looking through some avenue. And the spirit on the inside of you is kind of like hollering up on the inside. You see how my hand is? I'm using my hand as an automated way of showing that it's trying to say, hey, 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 over here, look, look, look. Your spirit is trying to get the soulless part of you attention. But the soul has a way of just kind of wandering off, trying to look for help outwardly to try to, and this is the reason why, you know, a lot of time people who take medicine, if you notice, your body doesn't get healed from the medicine. It just kind of numbs the pain or whatever it is. And they just were trying to, you know, hope and believe that the body itself would kind of repair itself. But sometimes, most of the time, the medicine that you take, a lot of time, it has side effects. It take care of one thing, but then another issue comes up. And people physically, their immune system physically, begin to weaken. Why? Because it doesn't have enough in it to fight. Okay? I hope I'm not losing you on this, but what I'm saying to you, when you recognize the Holy Spirit, that means the life that's in your born-again spirit, you're releasing that life into the soulish part of you. And when you release that life into your mind, your will, and your emotion, then the physical body now is receptive to the healing grace, to the deliverance, to the prosperity. Why? Because it's all the same. It's not, you know, when we talk about salvation, you know, well, I need healing. Well, salvation is healing. Well, I need deliverance. Well, salvation is deliverance. So when you have salvation, being born again, you have it all. We just got to learn to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, the ways of the Holy Spirit, that we'll be able to do a partake of that anointing. Because you see, that's what's happening. You have everything inside of you that you need to walk in divine health, to be at peace, to walk in divine prosperity. But what's happening is that the soul has a delay. It's delaying what you already have. It's a delay in between the soul, the connection of the soul and the spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is there always to do what? To change the way you think. It is enlighten you. So when we read the scripture, let's see, if I go back to, if I go back to this verse of scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, notice it said here, in Ephesians chapter 3, it says, let's see, I'm in verse 2, Ephesians chapter 3, notice this. He said in verse 16, may he grant you, talking about God the Father, out of the rich treasure of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man. That inner man is your soul. See, that inner man has to receive the life of God that's already there. So the life of God wants to be released, but it can't be released until you teach, until you train, or until you renew your mind with these truths. And I know most people that hear this, you know this. But at the same time, it's like, how do I release that? And this is why I'm saying, well, you can't release him until you recognize him. Because when you recognize him, then guess what? You're at peace. You're at rest. You're not moved by what you see. You're not moved by what you hear. You recognize the Holy Spirit. Why? You say, how do I recognize those when you know what the word of God said? That's and you hear in your spirit words of life concerning something that you're dealing with, concerning something that you're looking toward. You hear in your spirit, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. This is the victory that overcome the world. See, when you understand those scriptures, then you'll recognize, if he tell me greater is he that's in me, then that means, hey, then nothing will be able to hinder me from moving forward. So what do I do? How do I release that? You release it by walking in the authority that he gave you. Okay? I'm teaching, it is here, but then at my church also, in the class that I have 8 o'clock, it's like a Bible college course I teach at church on Sunday morning, and I asked him a question about what were you created for? And I got various answers. But here's the answer. The reason why you were created, Genesis 1:26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image and likeness. Two things he gave him, right? And here's the image and likeness, so that they can do what? Have dominion. You're not just made in the image and likeness of God. Everyone knows that, but what the image and likeness is there for? Why would I be made in the image and likeness of something if I'm not partaking, if I'm not enjoying the benefit of the image and the likeness of a thing? Are you understanding that? So if I'm made in the image and likeness of God, my Father, then now he's telling me that, notice it, you're creating the image and likeness so that you may have what? Dominion. See, and it goes to tell you what you have dominion. So you and I have dominion over what? The earth, all the earth. You say, what? Yes. So recognizing the Holy Spirit would be recognizing God's creation, recognizing how God created the heavens and the earth. In Romans 8, 19 and 20, it talks about the earth groaneth for the manifestation of the sons of God, meaning, sons and daughters of God. Meaning the earth, when it said it groaneth, because the earth was created by the word, and all things are being upheld by the word. You and I have been born again by the word. So if we've been born again by the word, then God has put in us dominion and authority to rule and reign over his creation. So when I see someone that's sick, when I see someone in pain, when I see someone that's deformed in something, that's for me to go to that person and minister to them, not to leave them in that condition. Did you hear what I said? Yeah. It's your and my responsibility, because Jesus has released this authority into the hand of the church, the believer. Mark 16, 17 said, believers shall lay hands on the sick. And he said, they shall recover. He said, what if they don't believe? It's not. Most time, unbelievers, just because it didn't say that they have to believe, it said believers should lay hand. So I'm the believer. I have belief. I have faith. I have power to do what? Raise the dead. Cause the blind eye to see. Cause cancer to disappear. Yeah, it's not my power, but his power, his life is in me. So I'm releasing his life, his power that's in me. See, my soul now is to the place to where it's receiving. Remember, I'm recognizing the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the life that's in me has from the foundation of the world already. It doesn't produce cancer. It doesn't produce pain. It doesn't produce deficit. The only thing that does that is the fallen identity, or the fallen identity that comes from the first Adam. So you're born again, and I believe most of you that's listening to me at the moment, you're born again, you're filled with the Spirit of God, and you know these things, but will you go act on them? Next time you pass by someone that you see that's in a wheelchair or that's walking with in pain or whatever, would you stop them and say, can I pray for you? Can I pray with you? You're not actually just praying. You're releasing that authority that you already possess. And now you have the compassion of God that is what? Filtering through your soul, through your emotion, because you know God did not create that person like this. He did not create this condition. I've been born again to do what? To bring reconciliation to all men and all women. Just say mankind. That's men and women. To bring the ministry of reconciliation to let them know that God never intended for you to be this way. Would you receive healing? Most time, unbelievers gonna open them heart, gonna open themselves up. Yeah, pray for me. Yeah, I want to get rid of this. The hardest person to get this type of anointing to be released in them is the believer themselves. Because you know the scripture, but your mind is not renewed to the place that you can receive it right away. Because it's something that we think that I'm waiting on God. Now, I'm not angry with nobody. I'm just trying to show you this is the thing that I experience. I'm waiting on God, and God is saying, I don't know how they're waiting on me because I have nothing left to give you. I put it all in my son, and when he was raised from the dead, he put it all, left it all, and that's what the kingdom of God is. He left it all here. In a word form, his spirit, the moment we receive his spirit, we receive the life of him. And that's what Matthew 28, 18 and 19 and 20, Jesus said that all authority has been given to me. So he released that authority into the church. And now he said, now you go and make disciples of all men, teaching them and making disciples. So this is my responsibility, teaching you and making disciples of you to let you know you're not waiting on God. You don't have to wait for something. No, if I'm waiting, it's because I lack understanding about what I already have. But if I recognize his voice, if I recognize his, and to recognize his voice, I'm recognizing his word. His word is already my teacher. It's revealing. The Holy Spirit within me is bearing witness of the truth. And so now your mind is being renewed right now as you hear the word. Faith is coming as you hear the word of God right now. You're being energized because of what you're hearing at this very moment. But this is where the disconnect will come from if you don't monitor. The disconnect will come the moment you get off this feed and you're going to see an opportunity and you pass it by. See, that's what I'm saying. You can't expect, you know, everybody to just say they're going to, you know, they're able to. No, they don't know. You and I are the hand and the feet of Jesus in the earth. And that's why I said that you be strengthened. May he grant you out of the rich treasure of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man. Again, that's in our soul. How? By the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. So they go to tell you, he's working in the soul. He's working to do what? To convince you. Open up. Let this life flow through the soulish part of you. And once your soulish or mental immune system has that word, has the divine life that's flowing from your spirit to your soul, now your body can respond. And I believe that, you know, I don't know how much of the percentage, but I believe because most people stay sick or weak or afflicted in their body because, again, the soul itself won't release the life of God that the body can absorb it. Because what do you say? Well, your experience could tell you, well, nobody got healed from that. No one got delivered from that. No one this and that. And all of us have had contact where we, you know, we saw people die, we saw this took place and et cetera. But we can't do anything about anything of the past. But I'm trying to ignite a light on the inside of you, a fire on the inside. It's not you doing anything. You and I are renewing our mind with the word of God so that we can let Christ out. You know, I always use this illustration, and I do. It's really funny, it's comical, but I had no idea that I could use an illustration like this that I'm about to give to you that, you know, will have a profound effect. You know, as a kid, and I remember this as a kid, as a young teenager, went to the store for my mom, sent me to the store. And this young guy in the front of me, who probably about the same age or me, maybe, I don't know, a little young, but he came there, you know, just to be funny. And he asked the lady, he said, "Do you have Prince Albert in the can?" And that's back then, you know, anybody could buy cigarettes, you know, because, you know, tobacco, whatever. And she said, yes. So she went and reached for the Prince Albert in the can, and I can remember it was in a red can. And as she reached over there, he said, "Then why won't you let him out?" Boy, everybody broke out in laughing, and that lady wanted to take that can and throw it at that boy. He ran out the store. And I never forgot that. My point is that you and I have the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God that created the universe, the word that created the universe. It's inside of you. The only way people are going to experience the power of God that's in you is you got to let it out. You let it out by your words. You let it out when you lay hands. You let it out through your eyes when you look upon them, as Peter and John told the man at the beautiful gate, look on us. See, you're releasing the glory of the power of God through your eyes, through your lips, through your hand. And when the man looked up on Peter and John, what did he do? Peter grabbed him by the hand. And the Bible said he leaped when he grabbed him. That means the power of God that was released through Peter and John. It wasn't that the man had faith. Peter had faith. And a miracle took place. Because why? They believed in the word of the Lord. They believed in Jesus, the Spirit of Him. That's why Peter said, it wasn't our holiness or our righteousness made this man to walk. It was faith. Peter's telling them, it was faith in this man's name that got this man to walk. Meaning Peter said, we have faith in his name. They didn't have it before they got filled with the Holy Ghost. They got it once they was in that upper room, and they acted on it. Oh, you understand what I'm saying here? So you can have too much information inside, but if you never get an opportunity to lay hands, you say, well, what if they don't get up? What if they don't get healed? That's not your responsibility. So you're already in doubt. You're already in fear. You're already thinking about, well, how you gonna look. You're not releasing you. If you're releasing you, they're not gonna get up. They're not gonna get healed. But if you go with the attitude that I'm letting out this new life, this new identity that I have in me, Christ's image. Just remember about the Prince Albert in the can. The Prince, the tobacco can't be taste or smoke until you open the can. And you know, do what you got to do. Well, the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, the life of God that we all love, that's inside of us, it won't do us any good until we open up and release Him. Even in our own condition. No matter what your condition are, no matter what your status is at the moment, you have to release Him. If you don't release Him, then you're not going to experience the victory that the Word of God talks about. And that's what caused people hope to be deferred. That's what caused people to lose joy. Well, I heard that. I've been in this conference. I've been in this meeting. And then, see, that's the problem. All your faith is in this conference. It's in this meeting. I had hands laid upon. Well, you see, all your faith was in that. Your faith wasn't in God. Now, I'm not mad with you. I'm just trying to share with you to let you know that, hey, our faith shall always be in God. Why? Because it's His word. That's what you have on the inside. That's what you're releasing from within. You're not releasing no one else but the Christ that's in you, but you are the carrier. That's why you present your body as a living sacrifice. Presenting your body as a living sacrifice. Why? Because it is that temple. It is that what people see. So you are like a divine technician. Whether they need healing, whether they need deliverance, whatever they may need, whether they need protection, whether they need provision, you are the one that's releasing that power, because the world can't do it. Thank God for our police officers, and they do all the best that they can do, all of our city officials, but you have the key. That's why Jesus told Peter when he discovered, when Jesus said, who do you say? And I have to close with this. Matter of fact, go over here with my, and you know, so you meditate on that prayer in the 63rd chapter of Ephesians. But I'm going to close with this. Look at, go with me to Matthew 16. And when Jesus asked them, Matthew 16, and I think it's verse 15, he asked them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? At verse 13. And verse 14 said, and some said that thou art John the Baptist, Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And verse 15, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now he's asking them. And that's the same thing I'm saying to you, the same thing the Holy Spirit's saying to me. Well, who do you say that I am? Notice the word he used, I am. I am is whatever am you need me to be, if that's correct. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Look what Jesus responds for us. And this is the first mention of the church. Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. In other words, empowered you were to understand who I am. That means this revelation didn't come from flesh and it didn't come from blood. It came from God. That means God allowed him to be enlightened, to hear, to see. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So we see where the revelation came from. Now Jesus had not, the Spirit of Christ have not entered in, but it goes to show you how the revelation came from at that point. And notice it. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. That's the first mention of the church right here. We call it sometimes the law of first mention. So what is he building his church upon? A revelation. And that's what the church is for. That's what the church building is for. We're the church, but the church building is what? Is a place where you come so that you could be energized, so that you could become, so that we could synergize one another. The synergy of off of each of us coming together, it empowers us that when you go back to your whatever area, whatever calling, you know, whether, I don't care, you know, it's not just ministry. You know, we look at, you know, just teaching the word as ministry. You could own a grocery store. That's ministry. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? You could work for the government. That's ministry. You could work in education, you know, in the school. That's ministry. In the business world, the private sector world, as a carpenter or plumber, whatever they, that's ministry. So don't look at ministry just as, you know, teaching the word like I'm doing right here. I do more than just teach the word. Okay? And it's ministry. Are you following what I'm saying? I maintain, what is that, 11 daycares. It's a form, a type of ministry. Besides what I do right here, this is my main, this is what I'm called, this is my main purpose. Okay? That's why I can do this every day the way I do it, not being under my might, but because his might, I'm allowing his light, I'm allowing his understanding to do what? To flow forth out of my spirit through the soul that I can speak with a boldness, not my bold, but with a boldness of his truth. And that's why sometimes people listen to you or look at and say, well, who do he think he is? Or how can he just say that? Or we think, or when we hear things that above our own intellect, it's like, no, no, no. Well, I can't pull back because you may be offended. It's not that I'm trying to offend you in any way. It's that the truth want to bring you to the light of life that's already in your spirit. But what's holding you down is the way you think through your traditions, your religion, the worldview of life, of how you were framed, how you, you know, the things you taught, the things you saw. Those are the things that wants to hold you back. So when you hear something that is against your tradition or your religious belief, then antennas come up. You know, you're going to want to fight that. You're going to want to shut it down. And that's what happened. That's why people, you know, we call it what? You know, you grieve the spirit. See, grieving the spirit is not allowing that truth to penetrate your personality, your emotion, the way you think. And if you don't allow the word of truth to penetrate, when you hear something that hits you in the wrong way, that kind of like hit you, and that's not for you to shut down. That's for you to say, okay, let me hear, let me see what this say. Even if you don't agree with it, because you might be missing something. See? Now, if it goes against your spirit, if it disturbs the peace in your spirit, well, now you know, no, I ain't going to listen to that. But if it's affected my traditional belief, if it's affected my way of living or how I've been doing things, yeah, I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen. Because I'm not walking in the fullness thereof. So if I'm walking in the fullness there, I will be agreeable. But if I'm not walking in the full, my mind going to fight. It's going to make excuses. Anytime I make excuses about something, that's let me know you're living in fear. You're afraid. So I teach myself to say, no, I need to hear this. This is beneficial to me. See, I put my words out there so that my mind will have to listen. It'll have to pay attention. My words have power. Your words have power. And notice Jesus said, I say to thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock or revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's what I'm saying. You have the truth. You have to let that truth out of you. It's a revelation in your spirit. Peter, this came up on Peter to know, but you and I have this life in us that we live by all the time, knowing. There's a difference when something come up on you to release and if something come up out of you that's a living water. See, that living water came up on him to release, but you and I have the life of this river, rivers of living water flowing up out of us. In other words, you're living in it. He was living off of it. There's a difference when you live out of something based on something you living off of. If you live off of something, it could run out or you have to wait for it. When you live out from something, it's always available. That's why Christ in you, the anointing of God, the word of God, it's always in you. It's always it flowing with you. No matter where you are, no matter where you go, it's always with you. You don't have to wait for a gift to come upon you. You don't have to wait for the Spirit of God to come upon you to move. Say, I'm a, you know, I can't pray for that person right now. That I don't feel the Spirit of God. I don't have to. No. We don't live by the gifts. The gifts work as the Spirit will, but because I have the life that's in me, that part that is what the part of the gifts of the Spirit that's working in. No, I live out of that living well, out of that rivers of living water. I can release anytime, every time. And that's what Jesus was trying to get ahead to know that. And then he said, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. See, you in control. I have to stop here. Boy, I don't want to stop, but I got to. But if you enjoy this lesson, you can go back and listen to the day, yesterday, whatever. I have a podcast. It's called Grace Institute Online Bible School. You can go to your, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, just go there to your iPhone, your Android, whether it be Spotify, whether it be iHeartRadio, whether it be Google, whether it be, I don't know, Pandora, whatever your podcast is, you Amazon, you put in Grace Institute Online Bible School, and you'll see it'll come up. This lesson will be uploaded. At the completion of this lesson, you can listen to it again over and over and share it with some of your friends, because I tell you, the disconnect of the power of the Spirit of God, us releasing the Holy Spirit, is us recognizing the Spirit of God. You're looking for something, you're waiting for something to come upon you when it's already on the inside. It's waiting for you to open up and let it go. And if you don't open up and let it go, it can't flow. It's not flowing based on your feelings. It's flowing based on your belief of the one that you release, that you have inside of you. You're releasing him. You're releasing the life of Christ, the anointing of Christ. I'm getting started again. Well, look, I'm going to stop right here, but you can join me tonight in our we have Grace Institute Bible School tonight in person at the Favorite Church. You can join us tonight at the Favorite Church if you're anywhere close to us, or you can join us on the Favorite Church page, the Favorite Church Facebook page. You can join us tonight also. So we love you. We thank God for you. And as we'll always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. We love you. We'll do it again, God willing. Bye-bye tomorrow. Bye-bye, everyone.